Hi guys, you may be seated. Oh, we're still on. Okay. I'll just tell you one story. When I arrived here, I got stuck in the mud just outside Bayside. If that shows you how small the area was. Someone in the church had to come and pull me out of the mud just past Bayside on, what's the name of that road? Anyway, skims around. So yeah, things have changed. It's grown bigger. And it's been wonderful for us to grow with the community. I love being with you guys. And this is an awesome opportunity for me to speak about the Holy Spirit. I do believe that we are coming into a season where we're going to see a fresh wind blow. The Holy Spirit's going to do stuff. And we had some amazing memories of revivals in the 1990s. I know this might sound strange, so just keep calm. I prayed for a teenager who came to church for the first time in his life. There was such a move of the Spirit, he flew over three rows of chairs. So I've never forgotten that. He got up, saved, delivered from drugs, whatever it was. But you know what? The problem is that people focused on the outworking of the Spirit and not the person of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we need to speak about today. So I'm going to speak about the nature and the purpose of the Spirit. So you start the series by asking the question, who or what is the Holy Spirit? Doesn't it make sense that you can't relate closely to God the Holy Spirit if you actually don't know who you're referring to? Agree with me? Now, the Holy Spirit, I have to say this, is not an optional extra in the lives of Christians. Romans 8:14 says that those who are led by the Spirit are children of God. If you're a child of God, you are actively led by the Spirit. In this day and age, I think most people can kind of get their head around an historical figure called Jesus. He lived on earth. Yes, he died on a cross. He was risen from the dead. People don't find it too difficult to think about God the Father, the source of all good things, but the Holy Spirit. And you see, we live in a very sensation-seeking world where movies and television series make the spirit world out to be very scary. It's like weird and scary. Would you agree with me? So a lot of people think, you know what? I'm happy to do Christianity. I'll do Jesus. I'll do God. But maybe Graham and Andre, you can do the Holy Spirit. That's not God's plan for us. You see, the scripture does give us enough information and insight to enable us to trust and work with the Holy Spirit. Just to give you a background, Jesus didn't speak a lot about the Holy Spirit during his ministry until he approached his crucifixion, because the Holy Spirit was going to take over from him. And he got to a point where he said to his disciples, look at me, Peter, I know you're ADD, look, okay, I am going to die. I will be raised on the third day. I'm going back to the Father. And they were horrified. They were terrified. They were panic stricken. You see, Jesus was the good shepherd of Psalm 23. He loved them. He comforted them. He strengthened them. He gave them guidance and direction. He explained the scriptures. He showed them how their weaknesses could become strength. He equipped them. He trained them. And when they needed a miracle, he was there. Peter's mother-in-law was very sick. Jesus healed his mother-in-law. How many of you know when Jesus heals your mother-in-law, that gives you a couple of points? And when they needed food, he was there to feed 5,000 and make sure that there were 12 baskets left over. Amen. It must have been a jaw of note. And do you know what? When they needed to pay income tax, Jesus told one of the disciples, I think it might have been Peter, to go and get a gold coin out of a mouth of a fish. Oh my hat, if I could continue doing that through the power of the Holy Spirit, pay my income tax. That would be awesome, wouldn't it? And you see, he was the source of joy and hope. Now you're asking us to live without you? How are we going to survive? Can I tell you, my late father had the amazing array of spiritual gifts. And you know what? If we lost something, he would just pray and show. I'll never forget, my birth certificate was stuck away in some cupboard in an attic area. He just prayed and said, oh, that's where your birth certificate lives. If we need healing, we're healed. I'd have my appendix out. He said, in Jesus' name, be healed. You're too young to lose your appendix. Zap, I was fine. I mean, that's how we live. He died from a heart attack unexpectedly in his 50s. We struggled. As a family, we were terrified. How are we going to live without Dad? But I want you to imagine Jesus. He's way more, I suppose, miraculous and all that kind of stuff than any human being. And he said to them, guys, I'm going to send you another advocate, another comforter. Amen. So let's read two passages, because most of what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit found in John 14 and John 16. So we're just going to read small passages, John 14 from verse 25. I'm telling you these things now while I am still with you. Can you imagine the headache at that? But when the Father sends the advocate, remember this is a legal term, so legally God could send the Holy Spirit to take the place of Jesus as far as ministry is concerned. As my representative, that is the Holy Spirit. He will teach you everything and remind you of everything I've told you. I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. You know, when we embrace the ministry of the Holy Spirit, there's peace. And I really want to pray at the end of this service that we can walk tall with the peace of God. Amen. Awesome. And the peace I give you is a gift the world cannot give you. So don't be troubled or afraid. Remember what I told you. I am going away. Oh, no, please don't. But I will come back to you again. If you really love me, you would be happy I'm going to the Father who is greater than I am. He was saying, hey, you guys are just worried about yourself. What about me? Isn't it nice to know Jesus was human? You guys are thinking about me. I'm going back to my Father. And you're just worried about yourselves. Let's read from chapter 16, verse 5. But now I'm going away to the one who sent me, and not one of you is asking where I'm going. There, Jesus is hurt again. Hey, you're not worrying about me. You're worrying about yourselves. Instead, you grieve because of what I told you. But in fact, it is the best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the advocate won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you. You see, it was really a blessing for the 12 or the 20 or the 70 people who were around Jesus. But what about the rest of the world? But when the Holy Spirit came, he could live in each of us. He says, guys, I want you to understand it's going to be way better, because I'm going to send some of you to India, some of you are going to Asia, some of you are going to Europe, and you're going to need my Holy Spirit. It's no good if I'm still here in Jerusalem. So that was the point he was making. And when he comes, he will convict the world of its sin, of God's righteousness on the coming judgment. The world's sin is that it refuses to believe in me. Righteousness is available because I go to the Father. In other words, I will be resurrected, I will complete salvation, and will ascend to heaven and intercede on your behalf and lead the church. Righteousness is available because I go to the Father. Amen. And you will see me no more, oh my word. Judgment will come because the ruler of this world has already been judged. Okay, so let's come back to who the Holy Spirit is. Firstly, he's a person. There is always reference in the Bible to he and him, never to it. Guys, you need to know that. The titles he's given, advocate, counselor, comforter, teacher, those titles speak of a person. Would you agree with me? The Spirit can never be referred to as it. I've heard many Christians refer to the Holy Spirit as it. Because he's not a power or an influence that operates as some radiation from God, some higher power. May the force be with you. No, not may the force be with you. We're making a terrible mistake. Many believe that he's some kind of force or energy. This is contrary to what the Bible preaches. Guys, you need to know this. Because a force or an energy is impersonal and it is amoral. Let me tell you, the Holy Spirit is moral. He is the Holy Righteous Spirit. He is God. And he is surely a person. Amen. Some people mistakenly view the Spirit as a spiritual vibe, a stirring and ecstatic feeling. I come from that era when there was a move of the Spirit. People almost became feeling junkies. You know, they would come to church, and if they felt better or they got slain in the Spirit, then that was what they needed. But can I tell you that that obviously the Holy Spirit does give us joy, but I have surely seen the Spirit do incredible things without any feeling or emotion. I can give you stories. Let me tell you one story. I'm living in Durban. It's a hot, humid day. Anyone from Durban would know that. I've got two babies crying. We've just been to church. No wonderful mother's rooms, by the way. It's after church. We came to someone's house for lunch. Do you remember that? Anyone remember the days when you had a roast on Sunday and you invited people? The kids are crying. Now remember, Derek and Leanne are one school year apart, just to give you an idea of how close they were. I'm asked to go and pray for a Sunday school teacher from my youth. She's dying. Now you gotta understand, I was a horror. I was a nightmare in Sunday school. It was called Sunday school. You were still doing flannel graphs in grade 7. I was always being called to the vestry for upsetting the Sunday school teacher. So I went there out of guilt, hoping I didn't hasten her departure. So I'm guilty. I arrive there, kids screaming. I go straight to the ICU. The old day, the ICU had about 5 machines, not just the one they've got today. All the was making hissing and noises, and the alarm bells are ringing. She's lying there dying. All I said was, "Okay, Lord, please forgive me, Lord. In the name of Jesus, be healed," and walked out. She left hospital 3 days later, completely healed. So, guys, you got to understand, the Holy Spirit's going to move regardless of how you and I feel. Amen. Woo! The Spirit is a unique personality with all the characteristics of a person. He speaks. He can reason. He responds. The Holy Spirit can judge a situation. And He intercedes. You've got to understand that He is the most sensitive member of the Trinity. The Bible says all sin will be forgiven except the sin against the Holy Spirit. He's so sensitive because He's the caring one. He feels rejection, hurt, and sadness because He's the caring, mentoring Spirit. Many years ago, a man in my church was healed on his deathbed again of cancer, and he was serving God and all the rest of it, and he started to sort of fade a bit, and he phoned me up one Sunday morning. I was like a part-time pastor, and excused himself from serving. Said he was going to a bride. So I mean, okay, fine, there's enough time to find someone else. I felt this incredible sadness come upon me. And I realized I wasn't sad, that was the sadness of the Holy Spirit. So I phoned him back. I said, "Cam, I just feel you need to be in church." I said, "I feel the Holy Spirit is wounded." He said, "Oh, Graham, you know you've been working too hard, just relax and take a pill. Chill pill and just relax this afternoon. I'm going to my bride." The problem was a week later, the cancer came back. So, but you know, the story never left me. I realized the Holy Spirit is a sensitive person. Amen. You're all with me. The Holy Spirit is a specific spirit being. He doesn't have a physical body. The New Testament, the word spirit comes from the Greek word pneuma, which means wind or breath. And this actually describes the nature of God. We don't see Him, but we feel Him, we sense Him, and boy, can we see the results of His ministry. But He's not a physical body. Amen. The Holy Spirit is not any spirit. He's not a human spirit. He's not an evil spirit. He's not a ghost or an apparition. Casper the Friendly Ghost. Do they still have Casper the Friendly Ghost? We've been replaced by many other ghosts. Okay, since the days of Casper. Please, give you an idea of how old I am. I am just a bit older than 21. Okay, let's move on. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 12. "And we have received God's Spirit, not the world's Spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us." In other words, He is divine. He's part of the Trinity. Then the Spirit is also distinct from the Father and the Son. He's not just another name for Jesus or the Father. Think of Luke 1:35. The Holy Spirit came and overshadowed Mary, and Jesus was conceived in her womb. If the Holy Spirit was Jesus, how could Jesus conceive Jesus? Doesn't make sense. I think one of the best examples of the distinction of the three members of the Trinity is probably the baptism of Jesus. where he comes out of the water, the Holy Spirit comes down on him in the form of a dove, and then God speaks from heaven and says, this is my son of whom I am well pleased. So you see, what we have is three distinct personalities who work together in unity, but they each have different roles to play. I'm speaking very quickly for some of you. You might need to get the recording. I wish I could spend time with reading the scriptures to you. So what happens is that the Holy Spirit comes in us because he doesn't have a body. Can I tell you, that's when life changes, because you don't become a God, but you've got God inside of you. Does that excite anyone? God in us, amen. So he has a divine nature. John 14, 17, but you know him because he lives with you now. That was before Pentecost, and later he will be in you. Then fourthly, I want to explain to you that the Holy Spirit is a loving, caring shepherd. Remember, he's a person, he's a spirit being, he has a divine nature, and he's a loving, caring shepherd. I want to tell you, his work is characterized by love, grace, and mercy. He is patient. And people fear. You see, we're going to pray for you, be baptized with the Holy Spirit. There's such terror on people's faces. What's going to happen? Let me tell you, the Holy Spirit doesn't control us. If you've been controlled by a spirit, it's a demon spirit. He leads us. Okay. Control is not part of God's plan. Anyone who controls you is not doing it from God. Amen. He leads us. Psalm 143 verse 10 says, may your gracious spirit lead me forward on a firm footing. The Holy Spirit plays a huge role in our salvation. We have to remember that God asked him or directed him to raise Jesus from the dead and thereby complete our salvation. Without resurrection, there's no salvation. So, but then the scripture tells us that he also resurrects us in the spirit in life now. In other words, we become a new creation. So there's a spiritual resurrection of our spirit being. And also when we die, he will resurrect us into heaven. Amen. That's the blessed hope of every single Christian. The loving Holy Spirit is fully responsible for us being born again into the kingdom of God. Yes, we have a small role to play. You need to accept the word of God. You need to be convicted, as we spoke about, of sin, of righteousness, and repent. But it's the Holy Spirit who places you in the body of Christ. The word says he baptizes you. That's 1 Corinthians 12. He makes you born again. Amen. You with me? Let's read John 3 verse 5 to 6. Jesus replied, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Water means that the water has washed your sins away. With me? And then he says something quite profound. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to supernatural life. So guys, just to basically summarize, it's the love and the grace of the Holy Spirit that propels him to do all this work so that we can be in the kingdom of God. Wow, I think it's awesome. The Holy Spirit is the exact representation of Jesus. This is what Jesus was trying to tell them. Except, of course, he's not in human flesh. Jesus was kind of frustrated with his disciples. And he made this promise. Let me read John 14, just verse 15 to 18. And we'll see the promises he made. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. The word another means that it's somebody like him, but it's another person who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. I want to ask you, are you looking for the Holy Spirit? Because when you look for him, you will realize his power and his love with me. You know what? There's so much distraction in the world that we're living in today. I think a mistake we make is not to look for him. And it says, and doesn't recognize him, but you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. Jesus comes in three ways. Firstly, the promise was that he would come back when he was resurrected. He spent a little bit of time with them. He kept coming through walls and having meals with them. Okay? So they knew that he was resurrected. It wasn't just a myth. Then, of course, the promise is that he will come again, the second coming, to fetch us, the church. But thirdly, he has come to us through his Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit is the exact representation of Jesus. I will not leave you as orphans. You know, we live in a world where people have an orphan spirit. I don't know what your life is like. You know, I was in tears because I preached on that song, It Is Well With My Soul. He was a Christian businessman. He lost his only son and his business in the Great Fire of Chicago. Then God helped him, and then he sent his family on a steamer over to England. He was going to follow them. And there was a collision mid-ocean. He lost his four daughters. His wife was saved on a plank of wood. And when he crossed over to fetch his wife, the moment that boat was over the point where the girls were drowned, the Holy Spirit gave him the words, "It is well with my soul," the words of that whole hymn. And I want to tell you that the Holy Spirit doesn't leave you as an orphan. If you have an orphan spirit, it's not the Spirit of God. Amen. We serve a God who will never leave us. The Amplified Version gives us a very good picture of the caring support role of the Spirit. Let's read John 14:26 in the Amplified. "But the helper, comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name," in other words, in my place, "to represent me and act on my behalf." Guys, isn't that wonderful? We haven't got time to go through all those meanings, but he is your support. Then, guys, I just want to talk briefly about the four purposes of the Spirit. Okay, the first purpose is always to point people to Christ, that others may live. Would you agree? Often people look at the gifts or manifestation of the Spirit as the focal point of the Spirit's ministry. So if there's a moving and someone gets healed or people are baptized in the Holy Spirit, that's the focal point. But guys, what we have to understand is that every miracle, every word, every prophecy has one aim: to point people towards Jesus Christ. If you have an experience with the Holy Spirit and you don't have a revelation of Jesus in some way or another, that experience is probably invalid. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm not saying it's not the Holy Spirit. But we invalidate it by not allowing the Holy Spirit to direct us to Jesus. The Holy Spirit is firstly a missionary spirit. Acts 1 verse 8, we will receive the power of the Spirit to be witnesses, Jerusalem, Judea, and the ends of the earth. I don't know whether Cape Town is the ends of the earth, but guys, God will continue to call people, either volunteers or full-timers, to reach out. This is an outreaching church. Amen. How many of you came to Christ because of outreach? The missionary spirit, I think it's so awful. Oh, awesome, sorry. Help me, Jesus. Okay. The Spirit penetrates the hearts of unbelievers through conviction. Conviction means to convince. It doesn't mean to accuse or shame you. Guys, if you're shamed into salvation, that experience won't last. But our conviction is of sin. Yes, I'm a sinner. Two, I need to be righteous like God. And I know that the only way I can be righteous is because the righteous Christ died on the cross for me. And then judgment. You know, I think we have failed the Church of Jesus Christ by not speaking about judgment. Every one of us will face judgment for the things we have said and done. The wonderful thing as Christians is we have forgiveness. So secondly, to mature people until they become like Christ and equipped for service and ministry. I think we're speaking about that more a little later, because when God matures us, we see an outflow of the fruit of the Spirit. So what happens is that we reveal the truth of God's word, and what the Holy Spirit does is he shows us how to apply it in the moment. I believe that before the service ends, the Holy Spirit will give you an area of your life where you need to apply this. That makes sense to you? And how God, Holy Spirit matures us, he uses the church. So please, I'm asking you to go to Growth Track, discover your gifts. Because as mature Christians use their gifts in service, so those people are touched and matured. In turn, they help somebody else. That's how the church becomes unstoppable. Imagine a church full of people enthusiastically using the gifts they're given. Romans 12, I think it's verses 7 to 8, I love it, where it says, if you've been given kindness, be kind. If you've been given the gift to teach, teach well. Amen. So that, just wanted to get that picture of how the Holy Spirit matures. Thirdly, to empower for significant ministry. I love Paul's statement in Ephesians 3:20. I believe God's given me that verse for 2021, that God can do abundantly above anything we ask or even think through the power of the Spirit working in us. You're going to be doing something on empowerment a little later. But fourth, so remember, I've said it's a missionary spirit to save people, point people to Christ. Second, maturity. Thirdly, empowering for significant ministry. And fourthly, as I close, in this COVID season, I think we need to remember the Holy Spirit protects us in times of vulnerability, weakness, and human incapacity. Remember, there's a human being. There's a limit to what you know. And you don't know that that friendly person that you're contracting with is just going to rip you off. You don't know that somebody that you've met or want to relate to is going to hurt your family or hurt the church. But so the Holy Spirit comes in and helps us in that weakness. And that's where I believe the Holy Spirit is the good shepherd. Psalm 23 verse 4, even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect me. He protects our spirit through our conscience. Our conscience is guided by constantly reading the Word of God. Christian, how many times have you wanted to do something and the Holy Spirit has said, no? Guys, I could probably confidentially write a book on moments where I'm about to do something and the Holy Spirit says, stop. With me? I just think it's awesome how God has protected me through my conscience. Don't ever let your conscience be seared. Then there's an overflow from the spirit to the soul. Anxiety, depression, hurt, hopelessness, lack of faith, maybe mental issues. You know, there's a lot of mental health issues now. That's all in the area of the soul. The Holy Spirit wants to heal you in the area of the soul. And I want to say this. In 1 Corinthians 14, it speaks about the value of speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues is when we're speaking to God, and what happens is the old authorized uses the word edify. The New Living says strengthen, but the Greek word means to build a house. When we speak in tongues, God builds us. He makes us solid and sturdy. Guys, I've been convicted of not speaking in tongues enough. You know, it's a good thing to do in your motor car. Especially when someone's just cut you off or there's a traffic jam. Why don't you take advantage of that traffic jam? You're saying to me, Graham, I don't know whether to go and see a psychologist. I don't know what to do. I'm mentally finished. Come on. How many of you have suffered mentally during COVID? My hand's higher than anybody else's. I didn't know how weird I could be until I was stuck at home in COVID. I'm not a stick-at-homer. I tell you what, why don't you speak in tongues? I'm coming to the end. Physical protection. Oh my God, God coordinates the angels. I can tell you spine-chilling things. And God has constantly reminded me of the time my children were at school and we were going home from a holiday. And the Holy Spirit said, speak in tongues, take authority over death. And while I was speaking in tongues, a sports car overtook and was coming straight for us. And an angel just moved it out of the way. We would have been obliterated. I can't even imagine how fast that guy was going. In that moment, we were physically protected. Then guys, human incapacity, Romans 8, 26 to 29 is an amazing passage. It says, when we don't know what to pray for, the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings. I had a breakthrough last year in a particular area. It had to do with somebody else that I'm connected with. I couldn't get an answer. And I remember I had to go somewhere and I decided going there and back, I was going to pray in tongues. I just said, God, you've got the answer. I don't have the answer. And the next day, that breakthrough came. It was miraculous. So I want to say to you, you don't know everything. And Paul says it in 1 Corinthians 40. He said, I pray in words and I pray in tongues. We should be doing both. Amen. I hope this has been an encouragement to you. Romans 8, 26, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. And can we stand together? Can we stand? I just honestly believe, guys, this is a moment. This is the moment to receive the Holy Spirit. This is the moment to be re-inspired, to be filled. You know that much of our ministry should be coming from overflow. When we're spiritually empty and our spiritual tank is empty, that means that our spiritual inflow is less than the outflow. As you're facing challenges and trials and tribulations, there's not enough inflow of the Holy Spirit. I wonder, firstly, as we're standing here, is anyone here, you can sense the conviction of the Holy Spirit to give your heart to Jesus, to say, Jesus, forgive me. You've convicted me of my sin, my need of righteousness, and that if I don't do this, there's judgment. Just our eyes closed, could you just raise your hand? Say, Graham, pray for me. Thank you. Thank you. Come on. Anybody else? I tell you, there's nothing better than the conviction of the Holy Spirit convicting me. Anybody else? Anyone else? Don't be afraid. Eyes are closed. It's between you and God. But man, it's awesome. It's awesome when we give our heart to Christ. And then, won't you just raise your hands together? Firstly, I want to pray. Father, I thank you for that hand was raised. God, I pray that right now there would be that spiritual sense of sins forgiven, that you have entered that person through your Holy Spirit to lead and to guide and to support and to comfort and to strengthen. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to fill us. If you need to be baptized with the Holy Spirit right now, I pray, God, fill you, that you can speak in tongues. Can we do that for a moment? Don't be afraid. Remember, I said to you, you can never fear the Holy Spirit because he's absolutely a gentleman. You might hear weird stories of people hanging from chandeliers. That's why we don't have chandeliers here, by the way. That's all nonsense. Jesus never did anything like that, but he was filled with the Spirit. I'm going to pray. Lord, right now, as we close, I ask you to fill us afresh. Anyone here that's never been filled, I pray in this moment, they would be absolutely filled. I think of the experience of Peter and John. They were under incredible pressure from the religious leaders. They went back to God's people, and as they began to worship you, you filled them, and the place shook. I thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, guys.
Come on, what an awesome message. Thank you, Graham. Come on, just honor Graham. I thought that was an amazing message. Come on, if you can stay standing, let's stay standing at the location. I want you to remember, even as we do this series, we're going to be speaking about how the Holy Spirit empowers you. And I think it was such a powerful, those 4 points were so practical, so clear on how the Holy Spirit wants to help you as a business person, as a mom or a dad, as a single person making life change decisions. The Holy Spirit wants to help you. And Leanne and I always say this, God either is going to bless us or protect us. That's it. And the Holy Spirit's either going to bless you or protect you. And we walk in that. And so I want to encourage you to, so even as you step out, you can carry on stepping out. You don't have to live this life where you're not trying stuff, not actually venturing out as this awesome ship that's supposed to go out the harbor, but you don't want to go in case something happens. No, you got the Holy Spirit. He's either going to bless you or protect you. And Graham's been able to live his life, and the Holy Spirit has stopped now. Go there. And I know it can sound, you know what I mean? How does that happen? No, you just, you keep stepping out. And you wake up every morning and say, Holy Spirit, morning, will you for me today? You, Graham said, you don't even have to feel it in that moment. But God says in Luke that if you ask, He'll give it to you. He will not hold back when it comes to Holy Spirit. So every morning as you wake up, say, Holy Spirit, will you be with me today? Boom. Holy Spirit, you've made yourself a sense of the Holy Spirit, and there'll be protection or blessing that day. So one of the two. I wanted to remind you, the Holy Spirit doesn't make us better than anyone else. He just makes us better than ourselves. You understand? Chris Hodges says all the time, the Holy Spirit doesn't make you better than anyone else. So it doesn't make us, oh, look at me. I go, no, no. It makes me better than me. It actually makes me more aware that I can help others. And then remember, who needs a bit more help and strength in life? Anyone? Well, then He gives us the gift of tongues. He says, if you pray in tongues, it will strengthen you, edify you, build you up. I need strength. So I pray in tongues all the time. I go into meetings. I pray under my breath. People don't know I'm doing it because some people, it's going to confuse them, but it strengthens me. And I know I need the Holy Spirit's help when I'm giving them advice. I want to give them the best advice from heaven. I don't know everything, but I've got a direct line to heaven that the enemy, it says the devil can't understand our prayers when we pray in tongues. So I pray in tongues. So I encourage you, if you haven't been in this time, we're going to give people opportunity. We're going to have power of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and we're going to do a day where it's empowered with the Holy Spirit, and we give people opportunity to be filled. And like right now, Graham gave you an opportunity every Sunday. So we just want to honor you, Graham. That was a great message. There's so many things you might want to go listen back. Listen here, I'm going to hand over to Matt and Dieter at Bloberg and say goodbye to Bloberg and Malbus at Tableview. Let's see if you're new. We first Tuesday of every month, we've got Growth Track. It's so good to have you guys with us. Don't miss next week. Be blessed.